Our last storyteller of the first half is Nathan Novaria. Nathan, a Midwestern boy born and raised, Nathan made his way to Chicago from Kalamazoo, Michigan, 4 years ago. An avid pizza lover, you may recognize him as he often orders his Domino's directly from Sidetrack on his way home on weekend nights. A runner and marathoner, Nathan loves to partake in athletic activity as well as the CMSA and Stonewall Leagues. Nathan is thankful to the numerous friendships he has made in this wonderful city, loves people who have shown him friendship and affection during difficult times. Nathan, come on, let's go. You need this?
Hi, everyone. As mentioned, my name's Nathan, and thank you so much for everyone and for Sidetrack and for Outspoken for allowing me to speak tonight. Many people in this room, I'm sure, have experienced difficulties and trials and tribulations. They don't tell you when you're growing up as a kid that you will be faced with challenges as an adult. They also don't give you a handbook for when you come out and what that's going to look like for you with your parents or with your friends and with your family. Last April, 11 months ago, I was out with my friends on a Sunday fun day, having a good time at Roscoe's. Sorry, sidetrack. It was a week before Easter, and of course, it snowed in Chicago, and our game had been canceled. I looked at my calendar for the next morning about work, and I noticed that I didn't have any early morning meetings, so I decided that given the poor decisions that I was making with my friends and kickball teammates at Roscoe's, that I was not going to set an alarm to get up in the morning. However, that day, I happened to wake up at 6 a.m. No alarms, no ringtone set, no roommates getting up in the morning, making breakfast, or going to the gym. And when I picked up my phone, I had a missed call and a text message with a timestamp of now from my sister, Katie. And when I opened that text message, it said, "Call me when you get this," which we know is never a good circumstance. When I initially thought, when I saw the text message, we had a grandparent in our family who had lived a great 95 years of life. And he was sick, living in assisted living, so I presumed that message was going to be about his passing or some circumstance that occurred with him. But much to my surprise and dismay, it was about my mom. When I came out in 2012, I was 17. I was in high school. I wasn't, ostracized by my parents or kicked out of my household, which I was super thankful for because I know that a lot of that happens within our community. But I also wasn't welcomed with open arms and rainbow flags like we often see in Love, Simon. And from that moment and through my college years and through my early adult life here in Chicago, I found challenges in being open and honest with my family and close relatives about, the personal relationships I've developed, as well as, having this whole other life that people aren't really going to know. We have a pretty business relationship talking about work and life like that. And one of the biggest fears that I had in life, not only about, dating and being alone, was, living and never telling my parents about this whole other side of me that existed and having them leave before I got the chance to share that with them. When my sister called, she delivered the news that my mom had suffered from a heart attack earlier in that morning. She was rushed to our regional hospital in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where they input a stent, which stabilized her for 45 minutes before she aspirated, rejected the stent, and suffered from cardiac arrest. My siblings and I were rushing from all over the country to get home to be with our dad, and within 24 hours, my mom was airlifted by helicopter from Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids, where she was hospitalized at the Cardiac Spectrum Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan. As she fought for her life, she was placed on a device called ECMO, which was initially trialed in pediatric patients, but essentially what it does is circulate the blood from your legs to your heart, allowing the heart to stabilize as the other part was able to rebuild itself to strength. And after a week of spending time in Michigan with my family, traveling back and forth from Kalamazoo with our dad, we eventually were met with the good news that our mom was going to be okay. After our mom was able to go home, which she was one of the first patients to leave Spectrum Health Center with having to go through the post-rehabilitation within the city, she was able to go directly home, is really when the largest challenges started. dealing with the emotional trauma and pain and recognizing this, you know, fact that I almost lost someone super close to me, which was really the first time that it ever occurred within my life. However, inevitably, you know, most of us are going to lose close family, friends, or, you know, partners in our life. And if it weren't for the close, you know, community that I had through Stonewall, through CMSA, through my close friends, I definitely wouldn't be on this stage tonight. Fast forwarding through those next few months, even though the initial trauma of my mom's sickness was really hard, I would actually argue the work really started beginning in the months to follow. The grandparent that I had mentioned, who was 95 years old, did end up passing around 4th of July. And after, you know, finally summing up the courage and realizing through this event that I needed to be more open with my parents and sharing with them about my personal life and my life being a gay cis man, I told them about this guy that I was dating and brought him home for them to meet. Unfortunately, a week later on his birthday, a coworker texted me saying that they found him on Grindr, and we were not in an open relationship. So you can imagine at this point, I was surprised, and he was definitely not expecting the phone call that he got on that birthday morning to say happy birthday. But being the understanding individual who had just gone through a number of events myself, you know, I went over to his home and tried to hear him out. He apologized for, you know, his actions and explained that he was going through his own difficult times as well. And so in an attempt to be understanding, I ended up celebrating the whole weekend with him for his birthday, attempting to pretend that nothing had gone wrong. Until Monday morning came around and I woke up in my bed alone. I called in sick that day, you know, distraught over what had actually happened, and finally having the ability to process all these events that had occurred over this last several months. I was fortunate enough to have management at my work to support me in my ability to take time as I needed, both during my mom's issues as well as through my own personal health. And, you know, eventually I got to the point where I was lucky enough to realize that I was tired of being sad, which I know I'm very privileged in being able to say that, because I know that not many people have that capacity or ability to wake up one day and decide they want to change the course of action for their life. It was through therapy, which I highly recommend therapy for anyone who doesn't do it. The access to therapy, of course, and the mental health resources available in our country now is a whole other story. And if I were to go on about it, you'd probably think I was running for president, but I'm not. But it was also through the help and love of friendships and family that really got me through those difficult times. I have two friends here tonight. We have our own little text group called Support Group that we use and message each other on pretty much on a daily basis, letting each other know like things that are going on and ways that we can be advocates and help each other through those difficult times. And looking back on this time and realizing, you know, the trauma that had happened to me and the issues that I went through, there are a couple of things that I really took away from it. First is to hold on to the people that you love most. You know, you never know when today is going to be the last breath you take, and you also never know when it's going to be the last interaction that you have with someone. Two is that we should really be more kind to one another, because we never know what's going on in someone else's life. We can't be a friend to everyone within the community, but we can definitely show people compassion and kindness and recognize when they're going through difficult times. Whether that's through, you know, exchanging, you know, coffee or going to movies or coming to Sidetrack and having a slushie. People are always looking for connection, and I think that that's something that we truly have lost within our digital age, where we're always interconnected and on social media. I am very thankful for the friendships and the people that showed me compassion and kindness. And even through the relationship struggles that I experienced, I would still say that I came out as a better person on the other side. So remember to, you know, say I love you to the ones that care about you, and to hold close to those, you know, that you spend those moments with, because you might wake up tomorrow and have your life forever changed. Thank you.
Good. Dating is great, and it totally sucks.
Yep.
So yeah. Good luck on the journey, and it's great that you're able kind of create family along with your biological family.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your story. So that ends the first set. We'll take 10, 15 minutes, grab a drink, talk to a neighbor, use the restroom. If the restrooms here are full, there's more around the back in the other bar. And we'll see you in about 10, 15 minutes.